have ignition sequence start. The engines are on. 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversation with church leaders about social media, web trends, and everything and anything else our hosts want to talk about. Nils Smith is the innovation pastor at Community Bible Church in San Antonio, Texas, loves the Spurs, and walking the streets of New York with his family. Jay Cranda is the online campus pastor at Saddleback Church in Lake Forest, California, loves the Lakers, anything golf, and once could do a heel flip. To engage with the show, use the hashtag SMCPodcast. Let's join the show.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. My name is Jay Cranda, and I'm brought to you from the beyond. My co-host, Neil Smith, is joining me.
I'm in the dark today for those that are watching on video. We are both kind of in remote locations today, and so we're having fun. Jay, it's good. We've had some fun guests recently, but it's good for just to be you and I.
I know. It was really fun to, with Van and Justin, we want to thank them, and we had a huge show. We had tons of people. It was one of our bigger shows in the last couple weeks, and so it was so much fun. I was just telling them, they were sharing stuff on Twitter, and I'm still laughing at some of the things Justin was saying about Snapchat.
Yeah.
So if you haven't listened to that, go back. It was our last show, I think 161. So check that out. But with that, I know we got so much going on, but we wanted to just give a little bit of an update. One thing I wanted to share, and I know you got some stuff to share on this too, is on VR. So at Saddleback, we've been, we purchased a GoPro like set deal that can hold 6 GoPros, and then it comes with software that stitches the 6 GoPros together. And so we had a shoot last week where we shot like a 2-minute video as a test thing. So the way we're doing it is that we bought this set and the software, which I think total was like $1,300. It came with just a holder and then the software. And then, right now what we do is that we rent 6 GoPros. So I think we can rent a GoPro for like $50. And so, that's what we do. We rent them online. And, what happened was we did it, and between me and the video crew, we were kind of like confused if we were to shoot it widescreen, like wide on the GoPros, or tight. And anyways, we shot it 2 different ways. And then I got an email from our video team, and they said, yeah, actually, we didn't shoot it right, and so we have to go back and shoot it again. But he said that now we know what to do. But it was one of those things that you're kind of like, we had no idea. I had no idea. We're sitting in the room, and like, it didn't come with the instructions on the GoPro. And it was like, that was part of it. We had decided up front that, this was a shoot. So we want to capture a service in VR and 360. And, the idea though of doing something like that was to weed out these issues. And so I just wanted to share, like, we're kind of like, okay, how do we figure that out? I was really excited to upload it to YouTube and our Facebook page, since Facebook does 360 now. But it was just like, it's like, okay, let's do it again. It's going to cost another, $350 or whatever to rent, but small losses short term.
Yeah. So we're so excited about VR at CBC as well. I think just even from a trend standpoint, this is not like a flashy, it's not just a flashy new technology. I mean, I think this really is a peek into the future. GoPro, I recently read, I wish I had, the exact news on it, but recently acquired a virtual reality company in Europe. So you can see them as a company investing in that direction. Our guy that we're always watching, Gary Vaynerchuk, is always talking about 360 video. So we tried to jump into the space as well. We bought a Ricoh Theta camera, which is almost like, I would compare it to flip cams back in the day. So that was kind of the way to get, basic video easily onto your computer. So Ricoh Theta is about $400. It looks like a flip cam. It's a little small, little hand cam. The challenge we're having is you get about 45 minutes worth of video on the camera. It's not as high quality as you're going to get with like GoPros.
Yeah.
But it's decent. The challenge we're getting is, for whatever reason, when we try to convert the video from the device to the computer, it flips it sideways. And so we can't actually get a good video that we can put up yet. And so it's just, there's the learning curve is so challenging on it. And we're hearing that a lot of people are having the same issues. And there's just not, it's so early in this game.
Yeah.
But we also believe that getting there early is going to catch more eyeballs, catch more attention. It's going to help us just be that much further ahead. So the space is going to grow fast. The devices out there, the hardware, the software, everything around 360 video, virtual reality is only going to continue to grow. And
you know, this is so funny because we went into our studio where, you know, we shot this deal, and our video was the idea. We were going to share like what the online campus is about and kind of like, what do you think about this video? And so we had some fun, but I first made my pitch, and we have a really cool video team. And they've been very supportive of this, but I made a pitch of what I wanted. And I kind of was like, this is what I was thinking. And, Braven, one of the video guys, was kind of like, he said, well, that's an okay idea, but this is 360. Like, you got to do stuff, something more creative. And I was like laughing. I was like, okay, like, what are you thinking? And we had fun where like, I was like on shot, and I was like, well, here, you know, we're going to shoot this video. And like, I went off to the side and grabbed two shirts. And I was like, normally you wouldn't be able to see this. And I went down here. I said, check this out down here. And then back behind me, one of the guys, Braven, does a backflip. And I said, did you see that? If you didn't see that, you need to go back. And so we had fun with it, but it was even our video team. And I was tweeting with Alan or somebody from Life Church. And I was like saying something about like the storytelling aspect of 360, like I still don't get it. Like I don't know how to leverage that. Like, why would somebody watch 360 instead of, I mean, not why, I know why, because it's cool, but and it's interactive, but like, how do we have to tell the story different in 360? So I mean, you know, I think about even something like this. I have a light on me right now, and I'm actually in my living room right now. And so like, I don't like 360, like you're gonna see like kids' toys and, you know, projects from last night. So you know what I mean? So it's just weird to tell the story.
I think that's the virtual side of this, though, is that it feels more like you're there. So right now, you're letting us see the part you want us to see. When it comes to virtual reality, we get to see what we want to see, not what you want us to see. And I think that's the unique presence of a virtual experience. Is you choose your own experience. You choose what you look at. You choose kind of where you're paying attention. Just like from a church standpoint, just like if you're in the worship center, you can choose to look at the pastor, you can choose to look at the screens, or you can choose to look at the person next to you. And so that's your choice in your experiences. I think virtual reality kind of provides that as if you're there with them, which is really unique. But I think until we start doing it, I think it's going to be hard for us to really wrap our minds around it.
Yeah.
It's definitely interesting.
Hey, I wanted to highlight real quick, like this is our commercial break. We got Alec from Northview Church shipped me some, because I'm always drinking cold brew coffee. I want to say that very clear, cold brew coffee. He shipped me some of his home roasted here. Well, not, yeah, roasted home. Indie coffee roasters coffee. And so if you're on YouTube, you can see this sweet hat. He sent me buttons. He sent me everything. I mean, he's legit. Like I knew this because we met him at last year at iMinistry. And so go to indiecoffeeroasters.com. I've been drinking it all week. It is delicious. And we have amazing community of people who watch and listen to the show. I mean, they're not going to watch it because you're in the dark now. But but I just wanted to, that's my commercial break right there.
A good commercial. Let's do a couple more courses let's talk about Social Media Church. So we have the new blog that we've made available, and I love how this community, you know, we've made a lot of adjustments, you know, as we inherited the podcast a little over a year ago. And now, you know, we're kind of bringing more guests on, more people involved in the podcast. We've expanded now to a blog, you know, Social Media Pastor David Hearn, you know, socialmediapastor.com. That's a plug for David's blog or his website. But he's now driving, you know, our blog. We've got some great, you know, Jason Kasten's written for it, Dave Adamson, I think Kenny Jang is writing for it. So we've got some great contributors there. We want to make everybody aware of the blog. You know, just go to socialmedia.church, check out the blog. If you want to be a contributor, we'd love for you to write for the blog as well. And so reach out to David. I think his contact is there on the site to reach out to him.
Yeah, or use the hashtag SMC podcast on Twitter and we'll get back to you. But yeah, he's killing it, man. I love it. I know he's, and what's sweet is he's got such a heart for the church. And I know he's in this new phase where he's doing EMT stuff. And so he's been busy. Funny to watch him on. He posted this, if you become a writer, you will see what he's doing. He's like vlogging and he's posting stuff. He's great. So anyway, I'm so pumped to have him on the team.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. Wait, and then our other friend, you know, as we're doing commercials, DJ Chuang, who was the original creator of Social Media Church, is getting really close to releasing the .Bible URL or top level domain. And so if you're not aware of that release, I've got my eye on several domains as that releases in the next month and opens up. And so we're going to have DJ on soon. We're going to have a release party for that top level domain. He's been working on that for 2.5 years. And so this is a big moment for him, for American Bible Society, and really for so many ministries out there to grab those domains.
I wanted to say thank you for everybody who bought our Snapchat course. I mean, we just had a really cool group of people who came out and supported the Snapchat course, regardless of Justin Dean thinks about Snapchat. Actually, I want to go back and get that clip at the end where we recommend it to him.
Yeah. But,
just thank you. I mean, we shot a 3-part video course. I mean, we're only selling it for the next week for $5. And so we had fun. If you don't know anything about Snapchat, that's it. But the university stuff, if you go to socialmedia.church, you'll see it. It's on the university. We're going there. And we would love personally, if there's a course that you want, shout that out to us. Send it to us on Twitter at SMC Podcast. If there's something you want us to do a course on, give us recommendations. So anyways, I just wanted to say that before.
What tips do you keep digging in? Both of us keep playing with Snapchat more and more. What tips are you seeing on Snapchat that you'd recommend right now? Maybe one to the church leaders.
Yeah. So I think actually, so I've been video blogging. I've done, I think, 3 or 4 where I've tried it out. I always have this struggle with writing. My personality doesn't always come through. And so it's just tough. Writing's tough. I mean, you either got that skill or you don't. And so I kind of can fake it to a point. But with that, I snapped for 7 days for my job. I was doing kind of this inside view of my role.
Yeah.
And I vlogged about it. And I, you know, something that I realized over that 7 days that I share in my vlog is this idea of it just makes you want to like post more often. Like it's kind of addictive.
Yeah.
And in the sense, because it's so easy to send stuff out, and because you don't see like a historical archive of it, you don't feel like you overposted.
Yeah. And
because everything just expires, it expires. I personally love it. I love the idea that you can snap and draw on video and text on video, write stuff and save it to your phone. I think it's such a great kind of, it's not a video editor because you can't edit on there, but I think it's a good way to take fun video and post it. Now you got to be careful because it is portrait. And so it doesn't translate well to other platforms. You can't really upload it to YouTube without it, the black bars, but I think it's a fun way. Like last night I was with my kids and my wife and her friend were getting ready for something and they were preparing. So we're joking around we're in the bedroom and my kids are joking around on the bed. And I was able to take a quick video of my son goofing around and I was able to write text on it. And it was such an easy, seamless thing, let alone, it's just so personal. I don't feel like, I don't feel like I got to curate anything. I could just post it. And so I love it. I mean, I'm still messing around. I don't know what it is. I mean, you know, I think I get like 45, 50 people who see my snap. So like, to me, I'm like, I don't know if that's good or not. You know what I mean? Like friends of mine that are, I mean, not friends, friends, you know, kids that are like 17, 16, you know, they're getting like 100, You know what I mean? But all their friends are on it. So like, it's just such a weird thing, but I really love it. I think
you know, it keeps growing, and I think the engagement and the more people are intentional with it, two things that I see as opportunities for churches. One, I think, and you're doing this personally, Gary Vee's doing this, a lot of people are doing this, they're using their profile pic in different social media platforms to use their little Snapchat screenshot this image, you know, and add me on Snapchat. Making people aware that you're on Snapchat. I think most people will assume that your church is not on Snapchat.
Yeah.
And it's not like social media icons you can just put on your website. Snapchat just works so uniquely. So making people aware in that way on the other social media platforms is a great opportunity. And then I would say, if you're like, I don't even know what to Snapchat your weekend experience. Mm-hmm. So your Sunday morning of, look, the band's warming up. You know, people are showing up. We're drinking coffee. We're worshiping together. All right, everybody, we're wrapping up for the day. You know, have a great weekend, everybody. I think if you just even do, or like, look at the kids gathering here. If you have somebody who can just kind of snap story your weekend experience, that too just gives a window for other people that are following your Snapchat, you know, what your weekend is like. I think it's a good place to start. It's an easy initial win to get started on Snapchat. So I love seeing the platform develop. Yeah. It's still confusing. And the UI, I'm with Justin. It's not intuitive, but you figure it out and you're doing it. And so, but our course, you know, I learned, Jay, it's funny as people go through the course and you were doing a lot of the teaching on there. I was learning as we were going. I was like, I didn't even know about that. And because there are so many like features that you just intuitively don't know about.
Yeah, I was talking I shared last week joking around that a friend's daughter was asking me, you know, why are you on Snapchat? Like kind of saying that I was too old. And when she was, I was asking something I didn't get was the different icons. When you send snaps and receive next to your friends, you have different emoticons or whatever. And like, I was like, what are these things? And she was like, she said such an like stern, kind of straightforward voice was just like, well, you can go here and you can find out what they mean. And I was like, well, that's not explained anymore. Like, don't say it that way. Like, it's a confusing platform. And so, first off, you can listen to the show now on Google Play, right?
Yeah, that was exciting. I mean, Jay, you pushed us on to some other Stitcher, I guess.
Stitcher and SoundCloud,
SoundCloud. And then Jason Kasten said, hey, do you know you can put it on Google Play as well? And so my assistant, Christina, got us set up there. And so it's awesome that we're now available on Google Play. There's so many platforms. You know, as an iPhone user, iTunes is just intuitive for me and my go-to. But it's good to learn about these other platforms. It's, you know, it's fun to watch we've learned so much about podcasting. I mean, one, I would say I didn't realize how easy it was. Now I'm realizing that how complicated it can be too, because there are so many moving parts, you know, learning about lips and learning about microphones, learning, you know, about video even and how that works or doesn't work. There's a lot of moving parts. So it's cool to, you know, Google Play is now another platform, but as churches have to understand this, podcasting is a big part of a church's media experience. And so don't just put it on iTunes. Push it out to Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play. There's probably more that we're not yet aware of, and I'm eager to see what the stats show us. But we see, you know, I mean, we continue to see just an uptick in our listeners and more and more engagement, and just the consistency of doing it. It's been fun to see. So Jay, one of the debates that you and I are having is now moving to video. And so whether we do a video podcast on iTunes, we see Apple TV now has podcasting. You know, to be honest, let's talk about it. Honestly, it's a financial choice. You know, so we pay about $20 a month on Libsyn for our audio podcast. It's going to jump to about $75 a month for video.
Yeah.
It's not a huge expense, but it is an expense. And we donate our time. We don't make money on this. This is not our jobs. This is something that we kind of give back through this podcast. $50 is not a crazy expense, but it is an expense.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to watch it. And so, kind of what are your thoughts as we debate about the video podcast?
I mean, obviously it was sparked from Apple TV releases the podcast app, and then it kind of in my head, I was like, well, I wonder if that's going to change anything for churches on how, if they choose to do video podcasts. So obviously for us, we have this platform. And so what would it look like? And so it brings up a couple things about, you know, like audio's kind of, you know, personally, we just love audio because we never know with video, like we're so on the go that we can't really guarantee the quality of video. Like right now I'm able to do this because, you know, we're recording early on a Thursday. So my kids are down and I was able to put up a light and I can have somewhat of a quality. Obviously you're on the go right now and it's a little harder to do that. So I kind of get worried about the quality. And I just feel like my gut is I personally don't watch any video podcasts. So I only do audio. So I'm so swayed. Like I typically have it. What I like about it is I just put stuff on and I'm working or I'm on the go or I'm driving or I plug it in, while I'm driving. And so I don't personally see it enough to say, oh, that's worth it. And so that's why I'm still a little hesitant. I kind of want to see what happens.
Yeah. And it's a time commitment. I mean, so there's the financial commitment of $50, but it's a time commitment of distributing the podcast one other place and making sure it gets there and processing it. And so we'll see, I have a feeling we'll do it in the future. We want to take this content and distribute it far out. We push the videos to YouTube and put a lot of them on Facebook, and we're investing some time in video editing to cut clips out of them. And so we'll see where that goes, but it'll be an interesting trend. Let's talk a little bit. Let's continue on the same path. So a lot of our intentionality has to do with Apple TV developments and podcasting moved to Apple TV. You and I have been working so hard in the background, and we've talked about a lot on the show. It seems to be moving slow. We know how hard we're working.
Yeah.
Really in theory, technology, the complexity of the technology that's being created is so huge. And we didn't realize that going into this. We didn't realize how big of a deal this is to build an Apple TV app that's scalable to, hundreds or thousands of churches using it. What you want to kind of share with an update with where we are with TV app?
Yeah. It's been so fun. I mean, there's a lot of conversations that we're having that I didn't think we would be having so quickly. And it's kind of, we're starting a company. I mean, that's really what it is. And so there's so much between, we'll probably talk about this at another time, but we had equity questions and conversations. We had, expenses. I did a forecast for 3 years. I mean, there's so many cool things there. But with that, part of it is that we want to deliver, the MVP, the minimal viable product for March 1st. And so we want to thank everybody who signed up. We've had tons of churches interested. More than tons, about 70 churches that were interested in being part of the launch. And we've already done our first demo. We have two churches that we've selected to be beta for launch, meaning that they, we're going to launch and we're going to learn in some of that. But oh my gosh, I wish I could sit here but the idea that now we've built a platform that if you have a Video Pro account, a Vimeo Pro account, and using collections and channels on Vimeo, you can import automatically and create an Apple TV is crazy. I mean, it's like, and I don't think those who are new to this, like I talked to a company that created our Roku and they wanted $35,000. Yeah. To create our Apple TV. Then they wanted 10% of that every year to maintain it. And so what we want to do is we are doing this. Like it's real. We have created a way that for the first 10 churches, it's $3,000 and $100 a month. $3,000, you have an Apple TV and $100 a month, and we're creating an interactive way. And this is the thing, is that it's not a static product. The things we're dreaming about, I mean, we're talking about VR, we're talking about all this stuff. And so it's been such a learning, and we will, we're launching in March. If you want to be part of the first 10 churches, let us know. It goes up only by 2,000, it goes up to $5,100 a month for the next, 20 churches. And so, go to tvapp.church to sign up. We are going to be releasing some specialty video and releases there. And we're going to be setting up dates in March for the launch. But it's crazy. One thing I would be interested to hear from our listeners is we are treating this very much as a membership, less of a one-time. So the idea is that you pay a one-time fee to enter in and it's $100 a month. And the idea is that you'll get Apple TV, and very quickly after, we're going to release Roku or Amazon Fire. And so the idea, it's a one-time fee. So instead of paying $100,000 for three apps, you pay for access for one platform, which is linked to your Vimeo Pro account that will feed three, four, five apps as we build out. And so it's pumped. But I'd be curious, we're starting with Apple TV, but would somebody, what would the listeners think? Should we build Roku next, Amazon Fire next, or is there something else? Because this is very much, I mean, we're going to empower our community through surveys and stuff. Like, what do you want? Prioritize what to build, because this is not a static thing. So I can't tell you the conversation. I wish we could talk more about our conversations that we're having, but it's so much fun.
Yeah, and I think we will. I mean, the players that, you know, kind of in the space with us, Ed Bond is our developer, and he's really kind of the lead stakeholder in all of this. Just one of the sharpest minds in technology, and we feel so grateful to really be able to partner with him. And so as you and I really had this passion to say, how can we get churches on Apple TV in an affordable way? I kind of, you know, threw it out there to Ed, knowing he's busy. I mean, the guy is so busy, and he makes a lot more money doing things outside the church. And basically, like, you donate, you know, your time to something that we believe can work, and we believe we can build a business. But it's not; it's about creating great technology for the church. And he's like, "Man, I'm in." And so, but we wanted to be legit about this and build something that's going to last, both from a technology standpoint and a business standpoint. And so it's been a fun journey, you know, and even our hearts and just praying together. But learning, you and I are learning a lot about technology. Chris Tripudi, you know, is also a part of the company and really working on the user interface, and the design of things. I mean, I think it's going to be just a beautiful platform. The technology is, the church is not getting the leftovers in technology. The church is getting the best in the technology. I believe these church apps are going to be the best ones you see on the App Store, on your Apple TV, and on Roku and Amazon TV. We're live streaming. We're planning on that being a second feature. Well, that's probably going to be right there for launch, because that development is moving so quickly. I'm so thrilled about where that's going. Even if you say, I want to get down on the road, go to tvapp.church, get on the email list, so that you can make sure you're up to date on the news and information. The prices are going to vary. So we're kind of like, the first churches are going to get in, they're going to have a lower monthly price, but a higher front end cost. But it's really going to be kind of a membership of you pay their monthly rate, but you get all new updates. If, you know, once we add Roku, every church gets Roku, every church gets Amazon TV. Yeah. And as the space matures and develops, we're going to mature and develop with it.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I think the hardest thing, you know, you build it one time is one thing, but that's the thing, added features. I mean, again, you know, I think we paid $12,000 for a Roku a couple of years ago. Yeah. And it's like, we are trying to slash that, because what we want is that we want all churches to be able to get on. And it's not only that. I think what we will be doing with the show and with the platforms is training churches in some capacity about how you can go next level. You can use the living room as an added place to do training. So you grow your venues overnight. And so the idea, it's not just about getting on there and delivering content. It's about using it as a training ground in so many different ways, and going to millennials and so forth, not waiting for them to come here. So you get the platform, then you have to leverage the platform. You have to create content for that platform. There's steps there. But the idea here is, like, instead of paying 100K, we're going to knock it down to 5,000. And so we're trying to make it an easier cost of entry. The other thing is, we want to create features that we want to use. We want VR. Like, and we don't know what that looks like. And we know if the church has to pay for it right now, it'd be crazy. And so part of it is, we got to build some things in order to get there.
Yeah.
So, but we get excited about all these things. You know, I know data is one thing. Like, our Amazon Fire TV app that Salabike has, I have no data. So I'm like, hey, if we build an Amazon Fire, could we get good data? And it's like, yeah, we can, you know? And so it's fun to be in there to kind of leverage the type of things that we want in our own apps, but have it in this. And so we're kind of, you know, we're trying to build the dream app so we can switch, you know? And so, you know, part of it is that we've already paid for it and it's up. So we, you know, we're dealing with our own issues, but trust me, go to tvapp.church, go there. I want to say, you know, go to socialmedia.church, check out the blog, check out our university by going to socialmedia.church. We have our basics course and we have the Snapchat course. So we want to thank everybody for listeners. Thank you, Alec. Go to indiecoffeeroasters.com and use the hashtag SMC podcast. Thanks so much for listening this week and watching Nails in the Dark.
Thanks for listening to the Social Media Church podcast. To learn more about the hosts, the show, or suggest a future topic, check out socialmedia.church. If you liked what you heard, then take a couple minutes to leave a review on iTunes. Every review helps. Lastly, share the podcast with a friend and use the hashtag SMC Podcast to engage with the hosts. Thanks again for listening.